declare the Economic Development Committee meeting of Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019.
Yes. We have Alderman Frieders, Alderman Cope, myself, staff.
Yes.
And I don't think we're going to have any citizens' comments because nobody's here. Minutes for correction or approval. Any comments or questions on the minutes? I read okay. All right, we will accept them as presented. New business, one, EDC 2019-54, the building permit report for May 2019.
In May 2019, we had 17 single-family detached homes, which brought the total number of, and then we added five single-family attached. Those are the townhomes in Autumn Creek, off Cranston. They're building those townhomes out. It's the last four buildings they're total to build there. We did 128 permits for the whole month. That was pretty much it. Moderate single family still.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Okay, let's go to two. EDC 2019-55, the building inspection report for May 2019.
In May, we did 389 inspections total. Vast majority of those were residential. In May, we finally actually started to get yards back in, so a lot of engineering inspections, and we're actually still kind of backed up on all those right now, because everyone wants to get their full occupancy all at the same time. We've limited them to four a day maximum for engineering inspections, because we only have one engineer working for us on that.
Okay. Comments or questions on that? Okay, let's go to three. EDC 2019-56, the property maintenance report for May of 2019.
In May, we had eight cases that were heard before hearing. The two standouts here would be for the 577 East Kendall Drive, that's the hotel. In that case, they were found liable for condition of the exterior property and soil erosion control. That was with the lacking silt fence and several other things that were lacking. And actually, the manager for the property came out, the construction manager, telling the hearing officer, no, it's all taken care of. And we were just out there 30 minutes before and took pictures of open manholes and, no silt fence and stuff like that. And we just handed him with the date stamp on it, and he just found liable. So the stuff was corrected. There's other issues back on the property again, so we're going through the process again.
Okay.
Keep him honest, Pete. I believe in you.
Oh, my God. He's, like, so bright.
Whoa, because I cut my hair or something?
Oh, a little tropical. Trying to make us warm while we're here.
The bald head shining the light or something.
I prepped him for that.
So do we have any other comments on the property maintenance report?
Nope.
We're good.
I have a question on that. Or not specifically on the report, but a little idea is I'm driving over. I got off the phone with somebody who said they have a lot that they can lot that people are dumping stuff in. So they can't get in there to mow because there's stuff all over, and they wanted to spray it, but they haven't had a chance to spray it because it's been so wet all the time. Who do they call? I told them to call the zoning office.
They call us, building department. We can, we'll do what we can for them, but technically if they own the lot, they should put up no trespassing signs and no dumping, and if someone dumps, they got to call the PD and file a report.
Well, you'll get a call tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Probably. I thought that was, I think I gave your name too.
That's fine.
Okay.
You know the neighborhood?
Yeah, Country Hills.
Okay. Oh, I know which one that one is, too. Is it the construction equipment?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Is that the one down there, you think, Pete?
I think it's one of the properties back in there where someone keeps dumping branches and debris and stuff like that. We actually wrote a letter to ask them to clean it up, and then they called the bullets. Someone else was dumping.
That one's been come a while now.
Yeah. We tell them we're very sorry about it, but they still got to clean it up. And
yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Four, EDC 2019-57, the Economic Development Report for June 2019.
So you all have my report, and I don't know if anyone has any questions. I just wanted to add one thing, and that is it appears that there is a group coming together to reopen the roadhouse in Fountain Village. So I wanted to let you all know that, and also, I'll let Lisa know because the first thing I said to them is, you need to come and apply for your liquor license. So, so they're putting their signatures on their agreement. So within the next week, we will have the name of who the new entity is and who the people are. So,
have they Because that was dual ownership with the Pinheads, right? The owners were. So did they sell that off, or how's that working?
So the Roadhouse is a leased tenant in that shopping center. There are a lot of people that are similar people names, you know, but the new entity that will operate the Roadhouse is a different group of people than the original.
So they'll take over the lease.
They'll take over the lease, yes. I did ask the question. What will the name be, you know? And they said, well, I'm going to kind of improvise, but maybe incorporate Roadhouse in it, perhaps? They're deciding, so. Because signs are expensive.
Yeah.
Yorkville Roadhouse.
Maybe.
Well, plus, also, that had a pretty good following, so you might want to keep those people coming back.
Yeah, I think that's what they're kicking it around right now. So they're signing all their stuff and creating their LLC and doing all that, so. I would anticipate within the next week we'll have names and they'll come in and apply for the liquor license.
Do we have any idea who the listing agent is for Pinheads?
Okay, so Pinheads is actually owned by First Midwest Bank.
Okay.
So they
already owned it?
So the situation at that building is that they hold a mortgage on that. First Midwest Bank. So what's happening at Pinheads is what happened at Roadhouse, plus the fact that they're having a problem. The bank is like they're in what's called receivership right now. So the receiver is working on maintaining the property so that nothing happens to the building, everything's safe, and collecting the rent from the tenants at the Subway and China Garden. But they are not in the business of operating a bowling alley. They're kind of like a property manager. And right now the bank is starting the process. There's a couple of things that could happen. One of the things that could happen would be if someone wanted to, quote-unquote, buy the note. Mm-hmm. But the way this is structured, the bank has the property in Yorkville and a property in Richland Park, Illinois, that are connected. Uh-huh. So someone, if they wanted to buy the note, they would have to buy both properties.
Okay.
So...
Is that why? Because the rumors right now, like, people are asking me, we should buy it. Go ahead.
It shows up on a realty site, $3.5 million.
$3.5 million for just that one site.
Correct.
That's both bowling alley and Pinheads. I was looking at a house, and that popped up. I'm like, whoa.
So you get the bowling alley, you get Pinheads, which is one building, you get the strip center in front, but you also get this other property in Richland Park.
Okay, I didn't know that property up front came
in. What kind of property is in Richland Park?
It's a bowling alley.
Oh, gosh.
So that is where people are looking at it. Mm-hmm. I talked to the woman from First Midwest, who is the asset manager for First Midwest, on a regular basis. I actually spoke with her today. So they're getting people that are interested in getting a packet, but it's not it's complex because there's different parcels in different municipalities. So if they're not able to sell the note, then they will move forward with foreclosure, which takes like 6 months or plus, and then they can separate the property. Then they can sell the Yorkville piece, which means the bowling alley building and the strip center with the Subway and China Garden.
Okay.
That would be one. And then the Richland Park property separate, but they have to go to foreclosure to separate the properties.
So is Richland Park business also...
A bowling alley.
No, is it also closed and...
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, while we sure don't like to see it close, it's just, it's out of our hands. It's something that has to take place through the...
Yeah, people were surprised about that one, because...
Yeah. Roadhouse is less complicated. Roadhouse is now, someone else takes over the lease. It's a turnkey operation. They could come in and reopen it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for them?
Popeye's question, is that they're still going forward with a freestanding somewhere?
They are, and I'm not unable to comment on that.
But they haven't left.
No, they haven't.
Cool.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Oh my gosh.
Mamma Mia, where was that group called?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I saw that Mamma Mia.
John, you always just lighten our meetings.
It's all about the shirt.
It is. Okay, let's go on to 5 EDC 2019-58 Accessory Structures and Uses Text Amendment.
Okay. A couple of months ago, the city was approached by a resident looking to build a basketball court on their adjoining lot. The two lots were not one lot. They had owned one lot with their home on it, and they purchased an additional lot next to it for extra yard space. So the code, when we looked into it further, was not clear on if we let accessory structures like this be built on a lot that did not have a primary use on it, which would be the home. So there's a loophole in there that it says the timing of construction, you could build this accessory structure, but if it needed a water connection, you'd have to wait until the primary structure was built. So it wasn't clear if they were saying you can't have an accessory structure on there without a primary use, or if it was a timing thing that you expected a primary use to be on there. So staff decided to kind of clean this up so that it's more clear. In the past, when people approached us in these situations, we kind of recommended that they consolidate the lots so that they didn't have to worry about interior setback lines and everything. This particular petitioner, applicant, who put in a building permit, said that they went through the channels and it was just cost prohibitive to get a new plat and then record it with the county. So we felt that this is the opportunity for us to update our zoning ordinance. So what staff is proposing is that we would amend a couple of sections in the zoning ordinance. One section, we would change the definition of lot and zoning lot. They're used interchangeably in our zoning ordinance. Zoning lot would allow you to have multiple parcels considered as one lot for zoning purposes, where a lot just only lets you have what's been platted. So we're going to use zoning lot when we speak of accessory structures being on contiguous parcels. We're also going to require, though, that the one structure can only be permitted in the adjacent parcel, so you're not going to have multiple accessory structures or uses on there, and that it would have to maintain the setbacks that are required for that particular district for accessory structures. So you couldn't put it in the front yard. It'd have to be in the back of the yard. And the final thing that we're recommending is that sidewalks and parkway trees be installed prior to any accessory building or structure that will require a building permit. So if you want to put a playhouse structure there or shed that's less than 100 square feet, you wouldn't need to do that. But if you were to install something permanent like a garage or a court of some kind, a recreational court, you would need to pull a permit, and at that time you would need to install sidewalk and parkway trees. The reason we're recommending that, not only are other communities who have done this or are looking into it would require it, you don't want to create a gap in the residential facade of the street. So you would have all of these lots, and you have a big gap where you wouldn't have any sidewalk. People ask, why aren't you making them have, you know, put in a sidewalk, and knowing that the future use will never be a residential lot while that owner has it. For a building, so that's why we're recommending that. This particular applicant who did request us to do this, they already have sidewalk and parkway trees, so it wouldn't affect them.
And it's also fenced. They put a fence all the way around both lots.
Yeah, so that's what we're requiring. We are set for a public hearing. Before I go to that, I did look at other communities, as I mentioned before. Plano and Sugar Grove don't have any requirements. Montgomery does not now, but they will likely have requirements that would allow accessory structures in adjacent contiguous parcels. And Village of Oswego has multiple stipulations, which we kind of modeled ours after, but not as robust as theirs. And Plainfield, they reviewed on a case-by-case basis. So staff is proposing to take this to the PCC this month for a public hearing, and then it'll be back before City Council for final.
Any comments or questions?
I'll just add that in Ward 1, there are actually, I think, 3 properties that are like this, where usually it's their narrow lots, so they put a ranch in, so they have no backyard. So what they've done when they bought it, they bought the lot next to them. Mm-hmm. The one in Country Hills actually never had a sidewalk put in. So you come to their house, they have sidewalk, boom, where that lot is, no sidewalk, and then boom, it picks up again. And I know I had people ask me, like, can't they think the city should go and put the sidewalk in? I'm like, I don't think we can do that. We don't own that property, so... Mm-hmm.
So we could. So what happens is, if we were allowed that to happen and then the developer leaves and we accept the road and the parkway, then that becomes our responsibility to install. So this requirement takes that responsibility off.
That's why I liked it, yeah.
We have the legal right, though, to go install a sidewalk if you wanted to.
No, I just didn't, because it's happened way back before my time. Remember when they were stalled? That's when that all happened. Late 2000s there.
That fence was installed in 2004. That's when the permit for the fence. So I looked into the same issue. The fence was installed in 2004. The person there thought it was installed more recently than that, but it was 2004 was the fence. The house was built in early 2004. So yeah.
The one in Country Hills?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to guess, middle. Yeah. Yeah.
And most of the builders, anyways, when they are convinced to sell adjacent lots, they do stipulate to the people they want to. So they wanted a sidewalk finished as part of them selling the lot to them. I know that's what happened with this. Mm-hmm.
Well, and what I thought was kind of weird about this, because this was not that old, and then when they were willing to close on their house and close from the same builder, Grier, when they went to that closing, why wasn't, if it should have been combined, why wasn't the two lots combined at that closing?
You don't have to combine the closing. The only time that we would encourage the combining of the lots if they were going to put a structure on there, and they didn't at the time, so there was no requirement for them to consolidate the lots.
All right, because then it generates a second. That's when the cost came in, because now they had to go get an all new survey done to join them together when they could have done all that in one shot.
I am not 100% sure, but I think it's more advantageous for our community to not have them be tied together, because they're getting taxed on the vacant lot, they're getting taxed on the house a lot, whereas it's not being taxed on a house with a half-acre lot, it's being taxed two separate lots, but they didn't want to combine them. I know the homeowners there. I spoke about the basketball court. I went out and looked at it before I approved it as well on our end.
Okay.
But Grier there made them put the sidewalk. He said, I'll sell it to you, but you got to put the sidewalk in the
road. Yeah, I knew they put the sidewalk and fence in, yeah.
Yeah, because it's his subdivision. You know, it's their subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
When will this come to City Council, August, or are you intended for?
So, the public hearing will be July 10th, and so it could come on the 23rd, or it could wait until the August.
Okay. And then you mentioned a couple of municipalities do not have requirements. You mean they don't have restrictions, or they don't allow this?
They don't permit them.
Okay.
They do not permit them on adjacent lots, even if they're owned by the same owner.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. And so that'll just skip here and you have to go. Okay. Old business, EDC 2019-23, the Downtown Form Based Code and Streetscape Master Plan.
Okay, so to start off on what we had before us, last meeting there were comments provided to staff after we had made some adjustments based off the City Council comments at a prior meeting. And so what you have in the packet before you is a page by page of the comments that were provided by Alderman Funkhauser and how staff has addressed those. If you like, I can go through them one by one, or if you had any that you had a particular question about of how we addressed it, just let me know how we can.
I just one because I read through it, and then like he talked about a tree blocking a mural.
Yes.
And so I did go through it. But that's only on a rendition.
Yeah, that's only on a rendition.
So it's not really truly a tree blocking any kind of mural, because there's no mural on that building.
Correct.
Either.
And there's no tree there. So it was just an illustrative. If we were to provide trees in that particular parking lot, he was suggesting that it might block a mural.
Okay, so there's a lot of guessing what could... Okay.
It's a plan.
I've seen it a couple times in there, and that's why I was wondering.
Yeah.
I want to put the lights back on by them. There, I said it. Only comment. I don't think the alderman names need to be on there, but if we're going that route, go right ahead.
Yeah, that was the other thing. What was with the alderman? That was on the...
Both the Form Base and Streetscape Master Plan had listed the elected officials... I'm sorry, the Planning Commission members who had worked on the project, and Alderman Funkhauser's comment was, should we also include the aldermen? So we did. We revised it. They're on there. And we also added, what else did we add, Jason?
We had staff and fire associates and everyone. We added
the planning and zoning commission and the mayor, former and current.
Because in the comprehensive plan, it had aldermen and the PCC members.
And the properties have been delineated as private or public, correct?
Yes,
okay,
they
cool.
have. They were done prior to this from the meeting in May. So that's that. If anybody has any questions on that, let me know. So the next thing that I want to communicate to you is staff was talking with the mayor, and we felt that it would be best if we come bring this back again in August to kind of show you the impact of the form-based code, kind of on a parcel-by-parcel basis for the downtown. We have a potential development that could happen on the west block of Van Emmon. And so some things have changed as far as land uses that are allowed in there as opposed to their underlying zoning. So we thought it would be helpful to kind of show you how that works on a site. So we may pick one or two sites and kind of do kind of a demonstration, but overall we're going to show you on what the parcel's potential development could look like, what potential uses could go there, so that everybody's kind of informed once we approve this plan. And it's a good exercise for staff as well. We'll have all our homework done, so if a plan lands on our desk, we can just refer back to that chart.
So the crux of that issue, though, is cutting the red tape.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of the plan was to preload those properties with something that city council would not have to approve, such that they could come and pull a building permit for a full development.
Right.
So we have some samples that we want to show you to make sure that you're comfortable with that, because that is the intent of the
right.
form-based code.
Right.
So you've said, I like this four-story building here, I'm okay with it. Somebody buys the property, they come in, as long as it meets the form of it, they pull a building permit rather than go through the city council rezoning or development agreement process.
Cool. Expedition.
But you have to remember, they can bring stuff that you don't might not want there.
Sure.
Well, it had to be, as long as it would qualify.
Correct.
Yeah. It has to qualify.
That's why it'd be nice to see what is possible could be there, because when you see it, you might, you know, it might not fit the...
Which is what we're going to see at the next, in August meeting, right?
Yes, and then the streetscape is also coming back because we're still doing the sample streetlight designs.
No, we've taken that out per the comments that we had at last meeting. So
we removed the overhead catenary lighting.
Correct.
But I believe the direction from the committee was to prepare a couple different options for
entryway
single
feature?
Light.
Single light.
That was our lights that were more conducive to the
chandelier. There we go. Street chandelier.
So we do
I'm
have
coining
some
new
examples.
Planning terms, I think.
So we do have some other examples. Per the outreach that we had initially through this, we had about 400 people respond, and so they listed what other gateway features that they particularly care for. Do you want me to explore those as well? There were like the arches, or do you just want me to stick to other lighting solutions or no lights? Because I got different.
So the direction of the committee last time was that we were going to come back with three or four different types of options.
Uh-huh.
Chris had given us one.
Uh-huh.
For you to be able to pick one to replace the catenary lighting.
Okay.
And we said that that would take 2 to 3 months potentially to generate.
Would you want to go ahead and still pass this, or do you want to iron that out before?
No,
we're
going to iron that out
okay.
before we pass anything. We'll bring that back in office.
But with the form-based code, we would essentially be saying we're not going to pass it, but we're going to act as if it's passed to have an example of going through that process. Is that what you're saying?
We're going to bring you samples of what could be built on a couple of sites
okay.
that would be redeveloped.
Okay.
So, and I don't see it as you're giving up your right to review. You're telling developers up front what you want.
Right.
And so that they don't have to come back and ask, is this okay? You're setting the parameters. So if there's any parameters in what we show you that you don't like, we have the opportunity to change that so that
cool.
that metric is not something that will pop up there.
But there would be land use entitlements.
Correct.
Preloaded within this document.
Correct.
That traditionally would require rezonings or public hearings.
That may. And some that traditionally wouldn't be allowed, we are allowing them, but under a special use. So not all of them would just
correct.
Bypass you.
But there are some that would.
Correct.
So you'd be removing city council approval
correct.
On some types.
Correct.
Of rezoning.
some types of development.
Land use.
More general.
And we'll show you how that fits around the existing character and the existing funding.
So that'd probably be something that we're having like a discussion you're going through. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
We're hoping to have that for you in August. Latest September, but August is what we're shooting.
And you'll bring it back here?
Yes,
and then we'll
it'll
go
bring back at EDC.
Would be okay with that?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good idea to see what could be proposed.
Because one of the issues with looking at Chris's recommendations are that I had three different PDFs open, two versions of this copy and then one of the previous one going, what is he talking about? But then also going, okay, yeah, this probably would have been easier with two paper copies of the current one and then one of the previous one and then one on the computer so that you can actually Control F and find what the heck he's talking about and then Google some of the terms that he's pulling out of his brain. So that was a little thick.
Yeah.
I think I spent more time learning the keyboard shortcuts to go between two different pages than I did actually reading the material. So it's good exercise in finger dexterity. Cool, me.
Any other comments or questions? We're good? All right. Do we have any additional business? All right. Well, and I think our meeting is adjourned at 6:26.
Woo! All right, you.